Okay. Okay. What? Okay, fine. Just be sure. I'll check the facts. Okay. What? Okay. Well, hopefully they're going to call in. Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being because we're hoping very, very soon to have with us Beverly Eichmann, who's certainly one of our favorite guests. We've had her on many times in the past. She wrote a wonderful book called The Cloning of the American Mind, going into what's going on in our schools. The whole idea of controlling the minds of our children by various techniques. And right now, why we have... Okay, you'll have to transfer that over to me. Anyway, hopefully we're going to have Beverly Eichmann here in just a moment. And then, of course, we're going to go into the background of the mental health programs that are being actually introduced all across America. They have a wonderful slogan. You know how they have these names for programs, No Child Left Behind? Who could be against No Child Left Behind? Well, that really means, of course, what they're going to be doing is indoctrinating our children, changing their values, their ideas, their concepts, their beliefs. And it really has nothing at all to do with helping the children. It has to do with remolding their outlook on society. Sort of like the Tax Simplification Act of 1986. That was actually to make the taxes more complicated. And, of course, the New Freedom Initiative will be not to take away our freedom. Mental health screening for everyone. Beverly, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening. And we're hopefully one of these days we'll get the telephone problems straightened out. But anyway, Beverly's good enough to be with us this evening. And she's written extensively about this new Freedom Initiative, this idea. They're going to have mental health screening, starting with the children and then the teachers. And then everybody in America is going to be screened. Why they're worried about our mental health. We might have ideas that didn't want to go along with the New World Order. We might have ideas based upon freedom. We might believe in something as radical as the Constitution, which is hated by people in Washington, D.C. And if you doubt that, you need to go to my webpage. And, of course, that is RadioLiberty.com. We actually have the pamphlet was passed out by the FBI Anti-Terrorism Task Force in 1999 in Phoenix, Arizona. And it says, you know, if you see one of these terrorists, immediately report them to FBI headquarters, the Anti-Terrorism Task headquarters. And you can tell who the terrorists are because they talk about the Constitution. I mean, they talk about individual rights under the Constitution. why they don't want to go, they don't want to go along with this idea of the New World Government. So you really need to read that pamphlet. It's accurate. We've actually checked with people who've talked to the police there, and the police and the sheriff's office were embarrassed by this. But the FBI is simply representing the position of our federal government. They were just a little bit too blatant. They're really worried about people who talk about the Constitution. So pick up the story from there, Beverly.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed when I was in the Justice Department was every time the anniversary of the Waco thing came around, they'd say, well, now, keep in mind, and this was to employees, they'd send this in an email, the self-styled patriots.
Hold that thought there for just a moment here. Well, Dr. Stan back here, I guess this evening, Beverly Eichmann, and she's just commenting that when she was working in the Justice Department, they were very deprecating of the people at Waco. Now, for those of you who don't know what really happened there, they were killed by a Special Forces team. We actually got a video, or we can get copies of it, called Waco, A New Revelation. And you'll actually hear interviews with people who knew the Special Forces people who went in and killed all those children and women and adults. Why? Because they were enemies of the state. It's the most incredible story. And, of course, as this head of the jury told me, I think I've forgotten what her name was, Sarah something or other, but she told me, you know, we didn't want to convict those people. The wrong people were on trial. And you really need to actually to see Mike McNulty's excellent video, Waco, A New Revelation, and realize that these were Special Forces people, trained killers, sent in violation of the law, but of course they can't tell the American people that, can they? Go ahead, Ed Beverly.
No, well, you know, like I said, when the anniversary date would come around, they would talk about self-styled militias and patriots, and that, you know, we have to watch out for them. And, you know, I don't think they got the irony even of what they were saying, because it came across to most of the people just sitting in these offices as, you know, really rather radical statement, you know. But, you know, a lot of people went along with it, too, because they were thinking, oh, well, these were nutcases, and they think they're patriots. So they thought, well, that's what they really mean. But, you know, you have to wonder, and especially in the Reno Justice Department, you have to really wonder.
What were you doing there at the Reno Justice Department?
Well, hey, I was there through successive administrations, so I can't get blamed for that one.
All right.
But, you know, it was. I'm glad I was there, because, you know, if you didn't sit there and see some of this stuff at firsthand, you wouldn't believe it. And so it's good that I really did. I learned a lot. And I learned a lot about the law, and I learned, you know, during the time when that alien Gonzalez was, you know, washed up on the or picked up offshore, and was sent to Aspen Institute to be reeducated. They would keep calling it Aspen Institute. They wouldn't say what the rest of the name was, and of course, it was Aspen Institute for Humanistic Studies, which is the biggest religion bashing organization. It's bigger than that separation of church and state, you know, Barry Lynn's organization. It's bigger than the Humanist Society.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, because we're going to bring all of our other stations back on in just a moment here. And our guest here is Beverly Eichmann. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Beverly Eichmann, who wrote the book, The Cloning of the American Mind, which we do carry. We think it's a very important book. But Beverly is simply talking about, you know, the fact that she was in the Justice Department during the Clinton administration. She was there the time of Waco, and the way that the patriots there, the people in the Waco compound, admittedly, they were following a very false teacher at all, but certainly, they were living peaceably. There was no reason to go in and kill them. The government could pick up David Koresh at any time. He was out running every day. They wanted a confrontation. The government wanted a confrontation. They wanted violence. They sent in, you know, 100 people or 50 or 100 people, all heavily armed, exactly as they did with Elian Gonzalez. They went down to get him. Now, here's a peaceful a Spanish family, a Cuban family sitting there. They have no weapons. They sent over 100, you know, people with their flak jackets and their automatic weapons into this home, surrounding the home. There was no reason for that. And not only that, but the men were rewarded afterward with bonuses for going there and, of course, violating a court order to take poor little Elian out so they could brainwashing him and send him back to Cuba so the people of Cuba would have a feeling of total hopelessness with the realization that America was working with Fidel Castro to keep them enslaved. I mean, that was the real message of Elian Gonzalez, but the average American didn't understand that at all.
No, things have really gotten very much out of hand, and so I think this mental health screening initiative that we're looking at is par for the course. I mean, here it is called the New Freedom Initiative. I mean, it has nothing to do with freedom. If anything, it's the opposite of freedom. The New Freedom Commission has nothing to do with freedom. It's going to be the opposite. And in fact, the OIG, Office of the General Counsel there, in Pennsylvania, Inspector General, he was sacked for even talking to the press about this. And he essentially blew the whistle on the whole thing. He was sitting there in Pennsylvania in the Inspector General's office, and he got wind of this and blew the whistle on it. But it had been started for a long time. Of course, those of us sitting in education knew something was coming down, and I exposed it in my first book, Educating for the New World Order, and then again in Cloning of the American Mind, which was a bigger and more thorough book on the same subject, when I talked about psychographic data gathering and testing, and that they were getting into the belief system of the children with a view to changing the beliefs with follow-up curriculums. I mean, the test questions had little codes by them if you actually ever got in to see them, which most people couldn't. You had to really do some fancy footwork to get in to see it. But once you did, you saw these little codes which correlated with specific curriculum to be brought in and change the attitudes of the kids.
You know, have you ever read that wonderful quotation from Bertrand Russell on page 50 of his book, Impact of Science on Society, where he says, you know, the educational process will be such that the child, you know, once he leaves school, would never think of thinking anything different than what he has been taught by his schoolmaster. He will never be able to think independently. That is the purpose of education.
Well, you know, I like the one by Paul Popenoe that's right on the inside cover of my book. And, some people just, start with the first page and don't read the inside cover, but right under the title, I quote him, in 1926, he said, "The educational system should be a sieve through which all the children of the country are passed. It is very desirable that no child escape inspection."
No child will be left behind.
Yep. And Paul Popenoe was a behavioral eugenicist. He was head of the American, not Soviet, American Eugenics Society. And he was the editor of Journal of Heredity. And eugenics, of course, that's your racial hygiene program that the Nazis did. And we were right in the same mindset at that time. And really, it didn't get a black eye until the Nazi atrocities came around. But now we're back into it again because parent licensing is coming down the pike. And it's going to come on the heels of this mental health initiative. I got hold of a white paper that is now circulating around Congress, and they're taking a look at, now that we've got kids blowing each other away in the classroom, Columbine, et cetera, and made such lax standards and so on that kids are totally out of control. Now they're talking about screening parents for parenthood, which ones can and cannot have children, and you know what's going to happen on that one.
No, it was what the Nazis did. They simply sterilized people. They sterilized 700,000 people that they disapproved of.
That's
but
right.
You see, the American people don't understand that all these ideas of eugenics actually didn't originate in Germany. They originated in the United States with Margaret Sanger and her group, and they went from Margaret Sanger to a man named Ernst Rudin, who worked at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute, and they were picked up by the Nazis, and Rudolf Hess said, I mean, Nazism, National Socialism, is simply applied biology. It is simply applied biology. That's what it was all about. You sterilized the people you didn't want to. You exterminated the people who were really, of course, mentally handicapped. And you sterilized the people who were physically handicapped. And you certainly don't want anybody reproducing unless they, of course, will be the perfect individuals that you want. Of course, you'll have the perfect individuals. And then, of course, you'll have the other people who will be the cannon fodder for the wars that are coming. And that's the expression that Bertrand Russell uses on page 50 of his book. You know, you're going to have a certain amount of reproduction simply to produce the cannon fodder for wars.
Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about that phrase, but you're right. And I think one of the problems that, you know, Margaret Sanger may have developed more or less independently here, but we adopted a lot of what the Nazis did through Max Kalman. Max Kalman was right under Ernst Rudin, and he escaped, I think because he was Jewish, finally had a falling out with those guys. But he comes over here, and here he is praised by the New York Times to the hilt, and he's saying the same thing that that Ernst Rudin and the Nazis are saying. Even though he just escaped their henchmen, he comes over here and does the same thing. I mean, it's incredible. And then he and his protege, who was Linda Erlingmeyer Kimling, started this ADD. She was the one that started with the attention deficit disorder thing and called it a marker for schizophrenia, adult schizophrenia. It's no more a marker for adult schizophrenia than the man on the moon, but nevertheless, that was her angle or hook, and she used that as an excuse to psychoanalyze kids in school under the rubric of academic testing. In other words, doing it surreptitiously so that parents didn't pick up on it. And Kalman, one of his famous expressions or famous sentences was, who's minding the gene pool, and that schizophrenia would get out of hand very soon, and there would be more schizophrenics than normal people if we let this continue. Now, this was in the 1930s. So now what the eugenicists are saying, or the mental health specialists are saying, is, hey, guess what? Schizophrenia is out of hand. Most people are crazy. And, you know, we're going to have to put the brakes on this. So that's what all this mental health screening is about. And I wrote an article for Chronicles Magazine called entitled, What Are You Crazy? And does that mean that that was meant to point to the legislation itself, that New Freedom Initiative, as, you know, what, are you crazy pushing a thing like this? And I understand in Pennsylvania from a representative there, because there are state versions coming down in several states, Pennsylvania and Illinois for two, and they said it passed in Pennsylvania, or this representative said it passed in Pennsylvania without most of the legislators ever having read the legislation. I mean, they're rubber stamping things they haven't read. They don't understand, thanks to our education system, past the things they do read. And it's a question of the people that are really sincere, like this one representative was, of trying to do damage control afterwards.
It's sort of reminiscent of that book written by my friend Bill Richardson. He was a state senator here in California, and he wrote a book called You Really Don't Think We Read Those Bills, Do You? No, seriously, that was the title of the book, and the whole basic theme was that the senators and the assemblymen, they have so much work to do, they don't have time to read the bills, they don't understand the implications of what's going on, and that goes on in Washington, D.C. today. That most of the senators, most of the congressmen never read the bill. Somebody tells them what's in the bill, and they vote yay or nay.
That's right. They hire, what they do is usually they hire some little twit right out of college, and that's their education specialist or their farm specialist or, you know, you name it. That's their specialist in that area. And that person advises them on it. Well, These kids that come out of college, half of them don't know a thing about education. They think John Dewey was the father of modern education. That's as far as they get with it. Or that the Carnegie Foundation for the Advancement of Teaching is the most knowledgeable organization about education on the planet because they own, or their spinoff is the Educational Testing Service. But I mean, nothing could be further from the truth.
But, of course, John Dewey is the father of modern education, and the Carnegie Institute is the most powerful organization
powerful,
in education.
Not today. Knowledgeable.
But, of right. course, they have an agenda, and they really believe in an elitist system, and everybody else will be controlled by the elitists. And until people understand that the Carnegie Institute has been funding communism and socialism and radicalism and leftism, going all the way back to, well, we have a book written in 1958, the only congressional investigation of the great tax-exempt foundations. That book, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, should be required reading for everybody who cares about their freedom. Because when you realize that Rockefeller, the Carnegie, and the Ford Foundations had been funding communism and socialism here in the United States during the first half of the 20th century, that's the only way you understand what's happened in the last half of the 20th century. Our guest is Beverly Eichmann. We're going to be back here. We're going to welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Beverly Eichmann. And pick up the story there, Beverly.
Well, you know, the New Freedom Initiative is probably the most dangerous legislation I've seen come down the pike in a long time. And actually, I guess it's the most blatant. The Elementary and Secondary Act of 1968, of course, started the ball rolling, but, you know, most people haven't read all the whole, every title of that bill. But this thing, the New Freedom Initiative, is so blatant, and it's just mind-boggling that they would actually say they're going to use the schools as the hub of a mass screening for mental illness. And the thing about mental illness is it's so subjective. I mean, let's face it. Accusing somebody of being mentally unbalanced is a conversation stopper. No matter what opinion you spout after that point, nobody pays attention to you. That is how you can be delegitimized or marginalized so that, you know, everybody just smiles and patronizes you but really ignores you. That's the hook. And you know, when they say there's no stigma, they want to destigmatize mental illness. That's not what they want to do at all. They want to stigmatize it really well. Because then, anybody who is accused of being unbalanced in any way, given any mental disorder, can be dismissed out of hand. So, that's why this thing is so bad. Because when they start screening kids for mental illness, anyone with the non-preferred attitudes, and that's really what they say in many of the testing booklets, the teacher's guide, moral, you know, the guide to the teacher to the testing booklet, the test that they actually give that most people don't and can't see. It's off limits. It says there's a preferred response, and these preferred, if you don't have a preferred response, then that means you can be screened out of the job market, be screened out of the university of your choice, or if you're a nuisance to somebody important, then all this stuff will be trotted out at the appropriate time, and if you run for public office or whatever, you will be dismissed and that will be held up.
But
so
the frightening thing is, Beverly, mm-hmm. is that in the Soviet Union, they put people who didn't go along with the government into concentration camps. So they call them mental hospitals, but they were really simply prisons for the political dissidents who, of course, held different views, who might even challenge what the government was doing. Mm-hmm. And right now, as our attention is focused on, you know, the boys who are dying over in Iraq, they're dying supposedly for freedom. We're losing our freedom right here at home. We've got Howard calling from San Antonio. Beverly, if we should by any chance lose you, you call right in again. Okay. We've got to make sure that these telephones don't do us in. But let's go to Howard calling from San Antonio with a question for Beverly. Hi, Howard. What was the question?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think you just said something that basically that's what I was going to talk to ask Beverly. Beverly, I was going to say, doesn't it sound more like the Communist Manifesto or part of it? Of indoctrination, because
yes.
What Dr. Stan just said is exactly what they do. They say you're mentally ill if you don't agree, and they haul you off to a psychiatric ward, give you drugs and all this other stuff to get you into conformity.
That's exactly right. I think in the United States, the way it will play out is that you won't necessarily have to go through
it. Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Beverly Eichmann. And of course, we've got Howard calling from San Antonio. And he's asking, you know, isn't what we're talking about here with this mental health screening and perhaps, you know, putting people into some sort of re-education program or into a hospital or something, because obviously they're mentally sick, if they believe there's a conspiracy or there's a move towards world government, or they do not love Big Brother, or they do not hate Emmanuel Goldstein, also known as Osama bin Laden. That comes from 1984. If you haven't read it, you need to reread the 1984 to understand the part that Osama bin Laden plays in what's going on today. But anyway, Howard is asking, doesn't this sound very much like what they were doing in the Soviet Union, or they did in the Soviet Union? How would you respond to that, Beverly?
It is very similar, and I think the way it's going to play out in the United States is you won't necessarily go to a hospital or a camp, but what they can do is force you to take your medicine, and that is done through what they call involuntary commitment. Let me explain that for a minute. Suppose you go to an eye doctor and he recommends glasses. Okay, now let's face it, the state couldn't care less whether you wear your glasses or not, as long as you don't drive and cause an accident. Now, but in involuntary commitment, somebody comes around at whatever time they want to and checks to see if you're taking your medicine. And if you do not, if you are not taking your medicine, then you are hauled off and put in a psychiatric hospital so that you will take your medicine. So this is what it's coming to, I think, that persons with inconvenient opinions are going to be, A, marginalized, B, kept from the job market, C, kept from going to the university of their choice, and certainly not running for public office, or if they do run, they will be marginalized again. And or if they try to set up something, say, as alternate radio, like you are setting up right now, like Radio Liberty. This might be construed as, well, you know, these are nutcases, and so we've got to marginalize them. And the way that's going to end up being, with if they can do these tests and say, okay, this person has, and you just make up whatever illness you want to, because the diagnostic manual that psychiatrists, that's the Bible of all psychiatry, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, that is going to have a category for you. And if you don't, for instance, agree with the mass screening, then maybe you have a hatred of rules and authority. And so that would be a mental illness, you see.
Maybe you believe in the Constitution. Maybe you believe that individuals have rights. And, of course, anybody with any knowledge realizes that, of course, we all have to get along together. We can't be disagreeing. We've got to learn to be tolerant. The worst thing is hatred of any sort. And if you have any strong feelings, or you believe in absolutes, or you believe in right or wrong, how can you say you're right when everybody else believes they're right? And so if we're all going to get along together, we've just got to give up our beliefs. And if you're not willing to do that, why, you, of course, are a troublemaker.
I understand. I wanted to ask you, Jeff. In Texas, they just passed legislation in this last session that prohibits the schools from forcing psychiatric medicine on school children, including homeschoolers.
Ron Paul just, I don't think, have they actually passed it?
They passed it.
They did pass it.
That's
okay.
Wonderful.
It was passed. How would this new initiative from Bush affect these local laws, these state laws?
I think what's going to happen is, see, they're trying to do this in state after state to have copycats. This is a typical way to try to do it so that when the national or federal legislation passes, all the states are already on board. When that does not happen, as just happened in Texas, then they've got a problem. So they would have to impose from the top down, and somebody would have to challenge the law. So look for that law to be challenged at some point.
And, of course, it would simply withhold your funding for your schools, for your highways, for everything else.
Right.
I mean, it's purely voluntary, but if you don't do this, why, your state's going to go bankrupt. Hey, thanks so much, Howard.
And thank you, Dr. Stan, and thank you, Jeff.
God bless. And let's go to John, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Beverly, if I understand you correctly, then if I take the Holy Bible seriously and disagree with the DSM on homosexuality, I can be considered mentally ill. Is that correct?
Well, we'll talk about that when we get back here in just a moment, okay? Hold on here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess it's Beverly Eichmann. Her book, of course, is The Cloning of the American Mind. If you haven't read it, shame on you. It's must reading to really get a grasp of what they're doing here. Now, John is calling in from Spokane and saying, well, if he believes in the Holy Bible, and he, of course, has very strong views as far as his religion or other things are concerned, could it possibly be that he is going to be considered mentally ill? How would you respond to that, Beverly?
Well, as a matter of fact, religion is considered a marker. That's just what they call it. That means risk factor for mental illness. All religion. And that is the one thing I've been harping on for a long time, saying, hey, look, this is coming down the pike. And if you think this is too strong a charge, get this. In August of 2003, the National Institute of Mental Health and the National Science Foundation, they went in jointly on this, they announced the results of their $1.2 million taxpayer-funded study. It stated essentially that traditionalists and people who believe in the Bible are mentally disturbed. Scholars from the University of Maryland, California at Berkeley, and Stanford determined that social conservatives, this is the quote, in particular, suffer from mental rigidity, dogmatism, and uncertainty avoidance, together with all the associated indicators for mental illness. So, you know, some of the conservatives and political pundits just had a good laugh over this so-called study, and some say, hey, that's not a study at all, blah, 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 but hey, it costs taxpayers plenty. But the fact remains that nothing marginalizes a person faster today than just being mentally unbalanced, just like I said. So this study here, it was the beginning. I mean, the fact that we see this sort of thing always on TV, even just on sitcoms and things like that. But this was an actual study aimed at so supposedly proving it. So what happens is this kind of thing gets into the network, so to speak, and it's quoted. And pretty soon people tend to believe it because it was an official study of, my goodness, the National Science Foundation and the National Institute of Mental Health. And that's legitimate, you see. That has all the earmarks of legitimacy. And once you give something legitimacy, then it's taken for gospel, regardless of whether it's true or it's almost a joke.
All right, John,
yes,
does that...
The answer is yes.
John, does that answer your question?
It certainly does.
I will tell you, if you go to my website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down that FBI pamphlet, it was circulated by the FBI office in Phoenix in 1999, and you can tell who a terrorist is because they talk about the Constitution. Okay, John, you have anything else you want to say?
That would include those that take the Constitution seriously.
That just to go to my website, pull up we have the FBI file, the FBI flyer that they actually sent out to all the local law enforcement and said, if you see anybody who fits into these categories, you report them to the local Joint Terrorism Task Force. And one of the things was they talk about the Constitution. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
Let's go to Roger. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, thanks, folks. Yeah, that uncertainty avoidance, now that's a rich one. I guess you're not allowed to be certain about anything, including any eternal verities.
Yeah, they supposedly avoid anything that's uncertain. They don't want, they want hard, real obvious choices in their life and nothing, no change or that kind of thing. And mental rigidity is another one, and inflexibility is another one. There's a whole long list of them. Yeah. But this has been circulating around for quite some time since Frome was doing his work. So actually, there's nothing unusual about this. It's been in the, been circulating quite some time among behavioral scientists. But to have this come out in August 2003 from, in a serious fashion from National Institute of Mental Health and National Science Foundation is very scary, because that means it's going to be taken for gospel at the government level. And that's a whole different thing than theorists just throwing their ideas around.
Yeah, the other real rich one, of course, was oppositional...
Defiant disorder. That's what I was trying to think of a minute ago. If you don't like... If you oppose all these, well, you go through airline security and you're mad because you have to practically strip naked to go through it. Well, that's what it is. And that oppositional defiant disorder.
Yeah, how would you like to be a kid and labeled as odd? Of course, it's enough to give you acronymophobia.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, they didn't see fit to label Bill Clinton with integrity deficit disorder.
Isn't that the truth?
All right, anything else you want to say to Roger?
God bless you all.
God bless. And that telephone number again is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Beverly Eichmann. We're talking about this new mental health initiative. They call it the New Freedom Initiative. And when you understand, they use words to conceal what this is really all about. It should be called the New Taking Away Freedom Initiative. Because when the federal government, without any authorization, with any justification, starts labeling people, and of course they're the ones that determine what's right and what's wrong, personally, I've known a lot of psychiatrists. Almost every one of them was crazy. None of these people are in a position to be judging other people. Most of them need help themselves, and they're going to be telling us that we don't understand what's going on. I mean, this is the most frightening thing. This is the sort of thing that happened in the Soviet Union, where they used psychiatric diagnoses to destroy people, to get them in, to give them medication, to do lobotomies on them, to destroy their minds. Now, where does the federal government get off doing mental health screening on our children, on the teachers, and then on the general population? Why, there is a fascist mentality in Washington, D.C., and none dare call it fascism, but somebody has to. We have very dangerous people in Washington, D.C., and I don't think it's going to make one dime's worth of difference of whether they are there with the Republican administration or with the Democrat administration. They're really Republicrats. Both political parties are controlled by the same people. Both of them are dedicated to the New World Order, the New World Economic System, the New World Currency, the New World Religion, and of course, I believe, a authoritarian, centralized control over the very lives of the American people. And I think that what a wonderful way now to begin to label their enemies, why they're enemies of the state, as it were. They have variant ideas, why they believe in God, they believe in family, they believe in country, they believe in absolutes. And there is nothing more frightening to the fascist mentality that people who will not be swayed will hold to their values and still express their belief in God.
It's true. That's absolutely true. And I think what you've got in Washington, I mean, yes, there are some people that everybody nearly that I know that went into government initially, when they were young usually, went in there to try to make a difference and so forth, and they found out that that wasn't going to happen. And, you know, people have a very odd notion, I guess, about government. It's understandable, but they think that that is about morality, about good versus evil. It's not. It's about order versus chaos and anarchy versus the stability. You know, a bureaucratic definition of evil is someone who doesn't return his form B. There are three basic articles of civil service faith once you get into this civil service mentality. It takes longer to do things quickly, it's more expensive to do things cheaply, and it's more democratic to do things secretly. I'm serious. I know that sounds funny, and actually I got that from Messrs. Lynn and Jay. I don't know if you ever saw that show and the book Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister of some years ago. They're the ones that originally said it that way. But honestly, it is true. I was there. I saw it. And these people get into this mindset of, you know, that success in government is amassing extra staff and bigger budgets. I mean, they don't get it at all. They lose their perspective entirely once they actually get into the system. And so it doesn't always start out that they meant to do something wrong, but it ends up that way.
War is peace, ignorance is strength. Slavery is freedom, something.
Yeah.
I think that those are the things
that's right.
They had engraved on the Ministry of Peace in George Orwell's 1984.
1984, that's exactly right.
Right, we've got Ray calling in from Santa Cruz. Hi, Ray, you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to make a point that, I don't know, you were talking about psychiatry, and I kept thinking to myself that a lot of these psychiatrists are really errant globalists, and I kept thinking about Tim Leary and how he was involved in this globalism and black magic and all this stuff. And I just don't trust the psychiatric profession very much anymore.
did you ever trust them?
I did at one time. Okay.
Well, you know, they come with a veneer of doctor, and people think doctor, and they have this idea in their mind about doctor. I mean, it's not so surprising.
Right.
But then when you actually get into it, especially if you do have something wrong, like I had migraine headaches for a long time.
Right.
And so, but essentially when they couldn't diagnose the problem, then they would start with this other stuff. And they want to get rid of the patient because, well, if they can't diagnose it, that's embarrassing.
Right.
And, you know.
Right.
So I really got I learned slowly but surely, and then through education, I realized that psychiatrists hijacked our education system.
They have destroyed the morale and the spirituality of the youth of the country.
They have.
I think. Anyway.
Yeah, and I think it's strictly due to them because they really have gotten a toehold in the education.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I believe that.
And some of the religious, too, these guys that go to seminary, they have to take a bunch of psych courses now.
And, of course, this homosexuality is so prevalent in seminaries, especially in San Jose and that area.
Mm. Yeah, that I wouldn't know, but I believe you.
Yeah.
I would simply point out that, you know, you mentioned Timothy Leary.
Yeah, right.
Timothy Leary was a disciple of Aleister Crowley.
A Harvard professor.
Right, but we have a wonderful four-tape set. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll.
I just got done watching it.
What did you think of that?
It was one of the greatest things I've ever... I thought it was fantastic, but it was scary.
Well, but the reason I was asking, Ray, is because it goes into Timothy Leary, and you'll actually see him on screen talking about how he is carrying out the dictates of the program of Aleister Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
Aleister Crowley was a Satanist.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can only understand Leary if you understand he was pushing drugs because he wanted to corrupt our children.
Right.
He wasn't doing it accidentally. He knew exactly what he was doing.
And, of course, the Beatles were involved in it, too.
They all were involved.
They were all involved. It was like a network of that runs by... Yeah,
I talk about Aleister Crowley in my book too.
You do?
And, I do, and in passing. But I linked him I'll tell you exactly what his relationship was to several of the people that came down the pike and eventually wound up in education. Mm-hmm.
No. Is that in the cloning of the American mind?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll have to pull that out and look at that. Anything else, Ray?
An index.
Well, I think mind control comes into play, too. I think
it's called the
mind control.
Coercion. The science of coercion is what they actually call it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, it's all going downhill.
Oh, well, it's not all going downhill. Yeah. More and more people are waking up, Ray. That's
exciting thing. I think it's true, too.
Well, I mean, I've been at this for 42 years, and I see more people out across America who are beginning to know something seriously wrong.
Right.
We've just got to point them in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much for calling.
You.
God
thank
bless
you.
Again, our telephone number is 464-8295 in the Santa Cruz area. That's 464-8295. Or out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, our guest is Beverly Eichmann. We're talking about this New Freedom Initiative. The New Freedom Initiative. The New Freedom Initiative. This wonderful new program that they have to help us, to give us freedom by, of course, doing actually mental health examinations on the children and then the people who work in the schools and then the general population, and nobody is going to be excluded from this. And while our attention, as I said earlier, is focused on what's going on over in Iraq, and as the war continues to expand, and of course more and more boys come home crippled, it's just like in Vietnam. Our attention was focused on Vietnam while they brought in the Great Society here, when of course they changed their immigration laws, when they began to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., when of course they found that a woman had a right to kill a child in her womb, and while they took God and prayer out of our schools, they knew exactly what they were doing. Vietnam was a wonderful diversion, and 58,000 American people died. And the mightiest nation in the world was fighting a country the size of the state of Mississippi, and the mightiest country lost that war. Ladies and gentlemen, do you honestly believe that happened unintentionally? And now, of course, we see the same great diversion as, of course, now they're expanding the power of the federal government, and they want to know what you think and how you feel and what your values are. What business is it in the federal government? Well, because the federal government is to control everybody. Isn't that the purpose of our society? Apparently, when you talk to people, you back there in the East, don't they realize that they're setting us up for a fascist society?
No, they don't. When you point out certain things, I mean, little things on the way, then they say, well, gee, that doesn't sound good, or this doesn't sound right, or I don't like this or that. Then they start asking questions, but they don't see the big picture. They don't want to see any connections. What they'd rather do is fight this little piece and that little piece, and if that's the way we can get them to do that, fine and dandy. It bothers me. And for example, I tell them, well, here is a 7-point list faxed to me by a teacher in North Carolina who got it during an in-service training workshop at her school, and it is a list of the new values that are supposed to be transmitted by the teachers to the children. Now, get a load of this. There is no right or wrong, only conditioned responses. The collective good is more important than the individual. Consensus is more important than principle. Flexibility is more important than accomplishment. Nothing is permanent except change. All ethics are situational. There are no moral absolutes. And finally, there are no perpetrators, only victims. That is 180 degrees from anything the Founding Fathers said.
Sounds just like something that Aleister Crowley would have said.
No kidding.
Do what thou wilt. Thou art that is the whole of the law. You are the determinant of what's right and wrong. There are no fixed values. And that comes right out of the Garden of Eden. You make the decisions. You know, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then you can be as God. You make the decision yourself. Violate God's law. You got nothing to worry about, and there's tremendous power there. So go ahead and do it. And, of course, mankind's been paying for that ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right, and they've just carried it a little bit even further. But the goal of all surreptitious opinion molding, which is really what's happening here, this is opinion molding, and they start with the youngest kids. by finding out you can't change any opinions or values until you find out what they are. And the best way to do that is to find out what their parents think. So they ask them always questions. And I can even get you some of the questions that they
have. Go ahead. We've got a few minutes. Incidentally, do you have that list that you got from the teachers posted someplace? I'd love to have a copy of
that. It's actually on my website under position statement. And I'm having my website redone in a couple, but that'll still be up there.
Well,
so,
right now I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website, because Beverly's got great information.
It's www.beverlye.com. That's Beverly with an extra E on it, .com. And, or you can...
Wait a minute, Beverly, B-E-V-E-R-L-E?
No,
L-Y. L-Y-E.
E. Right,
.com.
Or you can just go on Google and type in Bev Ekman, E-A-K-M-A-N, and it'll come up the first thing you see. And you just click on it. So you can do it that way, too. But some of the questions that these kids are getting in school, and I found this one in 1981 it started out, and I just found it in 1986. But I often wish I were someone else, or I get upset easily at home, and the student's supposed to check A, very true of me, B, mostly true of me, C, mostly untrue of me, or D, very untrue of me. You're asked to dinner at the home of a classmate having a religion much different from yours. In this situation, I would feel A, very comfortable, B, comfortable, C, slightly uncomfortable, D, very uncomfortable. Or there's a secret club at school called the Midnight Artists. They go out late at night and paint funny sayings and pictures on buildings. I would join the club when I knew. A, my best friend had asked me to join. B, most of the popular students in the school were in the club. Or C, my parents would ground me if they found out I joined.
Well, we got real problems, Beverly, and the problem is the average individual doesn't understand what they're doing to our children in the government schools. If they did,
part of an academic test.
They would get them out of those schools. If you love your children, ladies and gentlemen, there's any way you can possibly get them out of your out of the schools. And if you can't, then get your church to form a school. Every church should be a school in this country. And the fact they're not simply is the fact that many of our churches have simply abandoned their responsibility to the flock. They'd far rather be acceptable to the community than take a stand for what's right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here with our special guest this evening, Beverly E. Beverly Ekman. Well, Beverly, we got about 3 minutes to wrap up your thoughts this evening, because this is a terrible, terrible problem. I never thought I would live to see the day when they would talk about mental health screening, but a conservative Christian president, at least everybody believes he's a conservative Christian president,
yeah,
would be leading this country into a fascist society under the name of fighting terrorism and, of course, being concerned about our mental health.
I was really shocked when I realized that he was supporting this, too. He started it back in Texas under what was called the TMAP program, Texas Medication Algorithm Project, and that was a trial balloon. And apparently now he's taking it national, and many of the pharmaceutical companies are supporting it, of course. Eli Lilly, for example, that makes Prozac, and a lot of these people are on the board of directors. George Bush Sr. was a member of Eli Lilly's board of directors. So, I mean, they're all kind of in bed on this together. And the No Child Left Behind Act is going to be the hub of the program, and they're also going to be screening parents in this program and pregnant women in this program. I mean, this thing is going to... well, when you read the whole thing completely, it is a fright, an absolute fright. So we've got to send a message to all of our state legislators warning them that they're going to get a copycat version of this thing and also be asked to support the national initiative. And we'd better make it real clear that this is the line in the sand right here.
Well, I think that mainly we have to let them know that if they're going to go along with a fascist program like this, they're not going to get reelected, and we're going to let everybody know how they vote. And I think this is the one thing that the politicians fear more than anything, is that the public is going to learn how they vote on a subject like this and will never forgive them for it. And I don't think that they should ever be given. I don't care whether they're pro-life, if you're strongly pro-life, if these people are vote for the pro-life and they go along with this sort of thing, they should be gotten rid of. I don't care. A lot of people, of course, play games with the Christian population, and I think we have to stand on principles, and this is, of course, one of the most important principles we can stand on.
Yeah. Definitely, we're out of time. This is conscience.
Right.
That's where conscience, they will get rid of your right to conscience.
Amen to that. And, of course, there are absolutes. There is a right and a wrong. There is a God. And that's what it's really all about. And, of course, the people who are pushing this from Washington, D.C., hate God. Because, of course, if there's a God, there is a right and wrong. And they're answerable to him. Beverly, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. And we'll be talking to you real soon.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Okay, our guest has been Beverly Eichmann. I hope you enjoyed the program. Well, that was Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest has been Beverly Eichmann. And if you want to go to her website, it's Beverly, BeverlyE.com. BeverlyE.com. And Beverly is certainly one of our favorite guests. And we haven't had her on for some time, but I was reading her article that she's written in Chronicles on the issue of this new mental health bill being pushed by the Bush administration. But it didn't start now. It's been in long-term planning. They want, of course, your mind, and they want the minds of our children. That's what you do in any fascist society. You control how the people think, and the people who think differently, they've obviously got to be mentally ill. Well, again, if you'd like to get Beverly's excellent book, Cloning an American Mind, give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'd pretty appreciate very much getting copies of that. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do it. We do 5 hours every day, and of course, we hope that you'll want to, of course, join the Radio Liberty family, or at least subscribe to the newsletter. If you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And then I want to mention that if you live up in the Great Northwest, why they're putting on the Institutes of the Constitution there, talk to Neil at 509-891, that's 7428, 509-891-7428. If you're, talk to John at 509-326-0171, that's 509-326-0171. And even the programs have started where you can get in, and you can get in on the next one. So the Institute of the Constitution will teach people about the Constitution. People who understand the Constitution would never go along with the legislation that is being pushed by the leaders of the Republican and the Democrat Party, but a lot of this legislation is really being pushed for the Democrats by the Republicans. And the No Child Left Behind bill was legislation that Ted Kennedy could never get through. That's why George Bush got it through, because we have to understand that they're really all going the same direction, but they can't let the American people know that. They might catch on to what's really going on and realize there's not a dime's worth of difference between the Republican policies and the Democrat policies. Oh, there's all sorts of frosting here, there, and elsewhere on the cake, but that's only to confuse you so you don't see what's underneath. Well, ladies and gentlemen, now let me just suggest you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Of course, you can get the new frequencies for our shortwave broadcast there. And, of course, the shortwave broadcast, it's on one frequency until midnight, or at least at the first hour, this evening program. And then on another frequency, the second hour. The first hour is at 5.835. The second hour is at 5.970. That's 5.835. And, of course, 5.970. Or, if you can also pick us up at 7.535, both for the afternoon program and the evening program. Your job is to tell people about our programs, to tell them about our website, RadioLiberty.com, where they can listen to our programs directly or indirectly 5 hours a day. The early morning program at the AmericanNewsNet.com. That's AmericanNewsNet.com. The afternoon program at GCNLive.com. That's GCNLive.com and RadioLiberty.com. The evening program on Radio Liberty Live. Pardon me, RadioLiberty.com. RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, Live.com, and Soundwave2000.com. That's Soundwave2000.com. So they can listen to us on lots of internets, but the major thing is to get people listening. We want to get them educated. We want them to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. Because behind everything that's going on today are dark and sinister spiritual forces. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I'm going to be back with you in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're waiting patiently for a call from Mr. William Green, who's with a group called MoveOn.com, and of course they're very, I suspect they're very, very strong Bush supporters, but we thought we'd give them an opportunity to put out their information. Now, those of you who listen to our program know that I don't like either political party. I'm a lifelong Republican, but I'm afraid that the Republican Party is taking positions that I cannot support at all. It has become the biggest spending party in all history. The Republican Party has involved us in a war, which was traditionally what the Democrats have done, and this is totally an unjust war. In other words, they're trying to tell you it's a just war. Well, we did make a mistake. We shouldn't have gone in there. Gee, we should have known what we were going to have. And after the war ended, we should have suspected that there were going to be problems, but we just thought everybody's going to love us so much. And ladies and gentlemen, what the first thing they did when they got in was they dissolved the Iraqi military. Why would you do something like that? And then they dissolved the Iraqi police force, and then we wonder why there's chaos. Well, we've got right now with us Mr. William Green of MoveOn.com. Is that right?
Rightmarch.com.
Okay, fine. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're concerned at this time?
Well, Right March, we formed Right March beginning of last year, actually as a response to a lot of the liberal groups like MoveOn.org and others that were online. They were at that time doing what they called their virtual march on Washington, where they were getting as many left-wing organizations and folks to call, fax, and so forth in.
Are you on a regular handheld telephone?
Yes, I am.
Okay, go ahead then. You're just fading a little. Go
right
ahead.
About that. I'll try to hold it close to my mouth here. And so what we did was we got together with a number of conservative groups online, and we got emails out to all of our people and to form what we called the Virtual March from the Right, basically that to enable conservatives and just patriots across America to be able to go online and use the power of the Internet to band together, to make their voice be heard in a much louder way. And so RightMarch.com was formed, and we've been going strong ever since.
All right, fine. And so are you having an impact at the present time?
Well, we feel we are. We've seen about 3 million messages go through our system to Congress, the Senate, the President, organizations, businesses, leaders around the country, and so forth. We've taken out a number of full-page nationwide ads in USA Today and other national newspapers. We've taken all ads in magazines and so forth. We've formed a political action committee, a PAC, that's been very active, starting in the primaries, where we've supported conservative candidates against liberal candidates. We haven't cared much about whether they were Republican or Democrat. We're concerned with whether they're conservative. And so there's been a number of primaries where we've pitted a conservative challenger against a liberal incumbent, such as in Pennsylvania, where we supported Toomey against Specter.
Well, I'm so glad you did, because he certainly didn't get much help from the Central Republican Party.
No, he certainly didn't.
Of course, what we really need to do is understand it's not a matter of party, it's a matter of principles. What do you stand for? Do you support the Constitution, which Toomey did there, and but of course they threw everything at him, but the kitchen sink, and of course he went down. We got back our inspector, who really ought to be a Democrat anyway. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is William Green from RightMarch.com, and he's telling us a little bit about his organization. Where do you get the funding for it, William? So I tell you, William or Bill or what?
Either one's fine. Okay. We really, all of our funding comes directly from our membership. We have an email list. We get out to about 500,000 folks when we're sending out our emails, and what we'll do is we'll put it out there. This is the project we're working on now. This is what the action we're trying to take. We're banding together. We're making our voice heard, and we'll give our members the opportunity to take part in that. And we get lots of small donations, and together we're able to put together enough to, I mean, you know, when we can take out a full page ad in USA Today several times, that's the kind of being able to work together to make our voices heard.
Well, I think that's really great, and of course this is really what we have to do, is that we got to get people working together, and if you have enough $10 or $20 donations, you can do an awful lot.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is the power of the small voice banding together to make a large voice. It's what Richard Viguerie first discovered back in the 60s and 70s when he invented the conservative political direct mail fundraising. And up to that time, fundraising in politics was all going to the big money donors. And then Viguerie said, well, you know what, if we can get enough people contributing $10 each, you know, you get 1 million people to do that, then you've got $10 million. And can advance the conservative cause in ways that it hasn't been done otherwise. And that's what we try to do, is we try to give people the opportunity, not only for donating, but also for making their voice heard to their congressman, to their senator, in the media. Our website has links where all you got to do is put in your address, and it pulls up all your local and state and national media that are relative to you, where you can send your messages directly off of the website. So we try to make it as easy as possible for conservatives and patriots to just go right to the website and take part in these actions.
Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you have any idea?
I honestly believe that President Bush is going to walk away with this. I know that, you know, all the polls look very close, but when you start breaking down the polls, when you get into how they, and instead of just looking, well, here's the overall percentage, when you start going into the Gallup polls and the Zogby polls and so forth, and breaking them down, what you start finding is that, interestingly, what they're doing is Bush will be ahead by 4 to 8 points usually in most of these polls, even in most of these swing states that we're looking at. But then they'll take the undecided votes, and they reason that in past years, undecideds have maybe swung more to the challenger. And so they'll
Hold that thought right there.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is William Green, and of course she is with RightMarch.com, and he's telling us his thoughts on what's going to happen tomorrow. He's thinking that President Bush is going to be reelected simply because he feels that the polls are really are perhaps not coming through very accurately. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, I don't think they're being reported accurately. When you do look at the polls and you go and you dig into them, it turns out that Bush is actually ahead in most of these polls, but what they're doing is taking those undecided votes and they are weighting them heavily towards Kerry, where like 90% of the undecideds, they're pushing over to Kerry, which makes it more of an even race and even Kerry ahead in some of those polls. In reality, I think that it's going to break at least evenly on undecideds, if not more towards President Bush. So I really believe he's going to walk away with this. He may do a lot better than people are expecting.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this actually plays out. And you know, I think that there are a lot of young people who voted, registered for the first time. How do you think the young people are going to vote?
I think that it depends on the demographic of those young people. I mean, there's been a huge push, of course, from a lot of the liberal groups like MoveOn.org to register as many college-age students as possible, specifically targeting the ones that would get out and vote against President Bush. But I think one of the things that they're not counting on is the fact that that age demographic now is extremely pro-life, and they're going to go out, and they recognize where the two candidates stand on the abortion issue, and they're going to get out there and vote accordingly. I think it's going to be surprising, but still, the young vote is the vote that has had the lowest turnout, and I think will continue to have the lowest turnout.
And, of course, the black vote, it sounds like it's probably going to go primarily to Kerry. Would that be a fair statement, or do you think the Republicans are going to make an inroad into that?
It is. Republicans are making inroads. I think that, whereas all the way back to Clinton, you had almost 100% of the black vote going to Clinton, by the time of this election, I'm thinking that it's going to be 90% or less of the black vote that is going to be going to Kerry. I think the Republican Party has made significant inroads in the black community. A lot of it has to do with the black leadership, especially in the churches, waking up and realizing that the Democratic Party really isn't beneficial to the black community anymore, especially on ethical and moral issues. And they're recognizing that they need to move the black community in a different direction to be more independent than either party.
Well, now, of course, what about some of the Senate and the House races? How does Alan Keyes look there in Illinois? Do you think he has a chance?
I think it's interesting. I actually believe that he does have a chance. It's a slim chance, and all the polls, of course, have been very heavily against him, but they've used those polls against him as well. For example, when he would win very strongly in a debate, the next day the press in Illinois would put out a poll showing him still way down. Well, they took that poll before the debate took place, so really they were being very dishonest, very disingenuous in publishing those polls. There are areas that normally would not be very supportive of Keyes throughout Illinois that, in fact, surveys are showing that those areas are very supportive of Keyes. And so if his grassroots efforts really pulls through in this, he could have a shot at it.
Well, you know, Alan Keyes is one of the most brilliant people I've ever encountered.
Absolutely.
He's got a mind that really I marvel at as I hear him talk, hear him discuss. Notice the way he is able to actually have an audience on their feet, either crying or shouting or stamping their feet or applauding wildly. He has one of those rare gifts. He's one of the probably the three orators that I can think of in modern day times that really has that wonderful gift of being able to bring people solidly behind him, whether it be
right
in a debate or simply just simple talk.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And in fact, if the press in Illinois hadn't been so dead set against Alan Keyes from the very beginning, then his message could have gotten out a lot more, and you wouldn't have seen these skewed polls. You would have seen a lot more of an even race this whole time, because whenever anyone actually hears Dr. Keyes speak, then they realize that the caricatures that have been made of him are simply incorrect, or simply false, and he wins lots of people over if they just can hear him speak.
And, of course, the thing is that we really fight in America today, even more so than the party structure, is the control over the media. And I think for our listeners out there, you want to know about who really controls the media, let me suggest Ben Bagdakian's wonderful book, The New Media Monopoly. And when Ben Bagdakian started studying who controls the media back in 83, where there were 50 major corporations that dominated the media, by 1989, I think it was 29 by the year 2000, it was 6, and now it is 5 major corporations. And these corporations, it's not because the reporters are liberal, it's because the people who own those corporations have an agenda, and that's certainly not to give somebody like Alan Keyes, break, or to present honestly what he or any other honest conservative who loves America really feels. This is the thing that's so frightening, is that you can't have a free society if you don't have a free press. And as Thomas Jefferson had said so well, any people who expect to live both free and ignorant in a state of civilization expect what never has and never will be.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you one bit on that.
Well, of course, you'd have to disagree with Thomas Jefferson, not me.
Yeah, exactly.
But Thomas Jefferson really, may disagree with some of his theology, but he was a brilliant man, and he really did value freedom, and he really believed in this experiment in freedom under God that he had written so eloquently about in the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that it's unfortunate that a lot of the history that's taught today in America ignores what our founding fathers really. I mean, just the federal papers, just some of the writings that our founding fathers, the time and the effort and the intellect that they put into founding this country is just phenomenal, and it gets ignored in the modern education system to where civics is poorly taught in this country. I thank God for homeschooling now, because homeschooling has brought civics back into this country.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. And of course, I think one of the things that frightens the establishment more than anything is the growing homeschool movement. And, you know, with well over 1 million children being homeschooled and then other children going to Christian or private schools. So they're beginning to lose their control over the minds of our children. And of course, we encourage all of our listeners to get their children out of the government schools if they love them, if they care about them. There is no way they stand a chance in a government school. And it's amazing how many people are making that sacrificial effort to do that. Wives, can't work. Their income is down. But, of course, what they're gaining is something of eternal benefit, of eternal significance.
Yes, absolutely. We homeschool our children, and I wouldn't even imagine throwing them to the lions as really takes place in today's government school system. It's certainly not the same as when I was in school, and even then it was bad. And so I see the poor kids standing out there at the bus stops now, and I feel pretty sorry for them, but I'm very thankful that for the choices we've made for our children.
Well, you can't save all the children, but your first obligation is to your own, and then to the neighbors, and then, of course, to society as a whole. But right now, of course, getting those children a good education. There's all the difference in the world between a homeschooled child and a government school child, just in the way they look at you, their attitude, their dress, their ability to converse with an adult. They're so much superior to the average government school child because they're under peer pressure there to conform, and of course what they're doing is conforming to the mores of modern day television, and those are not healthy. A little wonder that people throughout the world see an American television and of course begin to lose respect for America.
I honestly believe that the homeschool movement in America, which we're up to nearly 1.5 million kids that are being homeschooled now in this country, I really believe that the homeschool movement in America is what's going to save the Republican form of government that we enjoy here. Unfortunately, in the government schools, what's pushed is democracy. And this country has never been a democracy. This country is a republic. And the good thing is that civics is being taught so well in homeschools that the kids that there's been a generation now that has come out of homeschooling and they're moving into the workplace and they're moving into positions of leadership within government, and you're seeing them come up through the ranks to where I think within a generation we're going to see once again presidents that have been homeschooled, just like we used to see in the early days of this country, because all of our presidents originally were homeschooled. And so I think we're going to see that again, because these are the kids that are being schooled to understand what our country is founded upon, to understand the roots of our republic, so that that can be that system can be brought back into play again.
I agree with you totally. Well, Christian, now right now, are you really sort of running this whole thing on your own pretty well, or do you have some people helping you?
Well, RayMarsh.com is really a collective effort. First of all, we really listen to the grassroots. We get so many emails and messages and so forth from our members on a regular basis. If we do something that they don't like, if we're promoting something they don't like, we hear about that, certainly. The good thing about conservatives in America is that we don't march in lockstep. We think independently. And so not everybody agrees with every issue that's put forth, but the idea behind Right March is let's get the issues out there so that people can find ones that they do agree with and take action on those issues. I also work with very closely with another gentleman, Phil Sheldon. He's the son of Reverend Lou Sheldon.
Oh, I know Phil very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Phil's father is the head of the Traditional Values Coalition. Phil's very active in the conservative political movement.
Well, I know. We see Phil on a regular basis. I'll be seeing him, I guess, later this month back in Virginia. Anyway.
Drag me down there, too. I'll be there, too.
All right, fine. Well, then we'll look forward to meeting you. Well, I will be giving a five-minute talk at least.
Wonderful.
They usually cut me down to 3 minutes, and then they usually shave a minute off of that because they don't like what I say. But, of course, but I'll look forward to meeting you. Hang on. We'll be back here in just a moment. Here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening is William Green. We will welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. What do you think out there? What do you think about what's happening? Who's going to win? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is William Green, and he comes from RightMarch.com, which is a website. Of course, it's reaching out to people of a conservative bent. And, of course, the point he makes, which I certainly agree with, is, they go for conservative candidates, not the party affiliation, but what do they believe in? And, of course, do they hold to the beliefs of once made America the envy of the entire world? And, of course, the recent race there in Pennsylvania between this Toonie, who is a real constitutional conservative, right on every issue as far as I could tell, and then against Arlen Specter, who, of course, if you remember Arlen Specter, he was the man who invented the magic bullet. He was counsel for on the Warren Commission. He was rewarded for his skullduggery and deceit and treachery by becoming a United States Senator. And, of course, after a couple of terms there, he certainly could have been defeated had it not been for the fact that the current administration threw everything they possibly could to supporting Arlen Specter, who had really votes consistently with the Democrats on many major issues. And, of course, he was even against the impeachment of one of the few Republicans who crossed the line on the impeachment of Bill Clinton and voted with the Democrats. Against a real honest-to-goodness conservative, which is very, very disconcerting to find how the power of the party really isn't interested in principle. They're interested in power. So, anyway, I think we've got real problems with the leadership of both political parties. But I'm so disappointed in the leadership of the Republican Party that will not stand on principle.
It is
something like that.
You're absolutely right. It is disappointing. One thing, I mean, and we come under fire for it a lot. RightMarch.com is not a partisan organization. We're a conservative organization. So one thing that I've had to emphasize to some folks, even in the current campaign season, has been that we're not party hacks, and we're going to support the folks that are going to do the most good for this country from a conservative standpoint. So even right now in Pennsylvania, we are wholeheartedly supporting Jim Clymer, who's running for the Senate against Specter and Hochul, the Republican and the Democrat. Because right now, the Republican and the Democrat, they're both far-left liberals that are running. And so Jim Clymer happens to be the conservative running.
In fact, for Jim Clymer, for our guests who don't know, he is the president of the Constitution Party, isn't he?
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, he does lead it there, and so he's the Constitution Party candidate in Pennsylvania, and he's there's been a lot of Toomey supporters that have gone over to support him because he declared when Specter won that primary against Toomey, just in order to try to pull the votes away from Specter. It would be much better to have an honest, consistent Democrat in that seat than to have Specter in there, who's just a Republican in name only, a rhino, especially considering that Specter is next in line to head up the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. And so if he wins re-election, it's a very good chance that even if President Bush does nominate very conservative nominees for even up to the Supreme Court level, Specter could block them all. And I think that Bush's decision to go in there and really support Specter in a big way is going to come back and haunt him, unfortunately.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, then, how conservative is the Democrat who's running against Specter?
He's liberal as well.
So you got a liberal Democrat running against a liberal Republican. Sort of like a choice between being shot and being hung. And most people really don't like either one of them.
Exactly. So, which is why we're supporting Clymer for that particular race.
All right, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Our guest is William Green. And, of course, she is with RightMarch.com. That's RightMarch.com. And, of course, he works very closely with Phil Selden. I didn't know that, but I know Phil, and he does a great job. He's Lou Sheldon's son. I've known Lou for probably close to 20 years when he was just forming the Traditional Values Coalition here in the state of California. So, under any circumstances, why, we're, of course, the Right March is backing in Pennsylvania, a fellow named Jim Clymer. And Jim Clymer is not a Republican or a Democrat. He is the president of the Constitutional Party, and in Pennsylvania, he is the Constitution Party candidate for Senate. So they're going to split the vote, and of course it'd be very interesting to see how many votes Jim gets. Jim's a lawyer, he's an honest man, a gentleman, and I know Jim, I have the greatest of admiration for him, and I'm so glad to know he's not only running for office, but he's going to have your support. And I think until the Republicans understand that if they do not adhere to conservative principles, they're going to start losing their positions. I think that would send a real message. If you could defeat Arlen Specter in Pennsylvania, that would send a great message to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest points is we really have to do everything we can to move the Republican Party back to the right again. What's happened in recent years is there's been a big push to move it to the left, and the Republican Party is supported by its conservative base. But the leadership, a lot of those in leadership have been taking a lot more liberal positions on a lot of the issues to where the conservative base, if the Republican Party leadership is not careful, the conservative party base can fall away from the Republican Party, not necessarily to go to another party, but they could just stop voting for the Republican Party, they could just stop voting, and that's how Bush almost lost 4 years ago because the conservative base didn't come out in a strong way for him. And they really need to be careful about that.
Well, I can remember probably it was about 6 years ago, somewhere in there, when I heard that Jim Dobson, Dr. Dobson, give a talk. It was supposed to be a very private talk. It wasn't supposed to be broadcast, but some reporters had snuck into the meeting. And he basically said that he had voted in 1996 for Howard Phillips, and he was thinking of simply not supporting the Republican Party anymore. Well, you can imagine what that happened. They invited Dr. Dobson. The Republicans invited him back to Washington, D.C. When the word got out, he was thinking of bolting the Republican Party, and they made him, they're going to do anything he wanted. They'd give him anything they wanted. Just don't leave the Republican Party. Why? Because Dr. Dobson will Many, many wonderful Christians will follow Dr. Dobson, and I think Dr. Dobson is a wonderful individual. I've met him on a number of occasions. I think he's a man who honestly loves the Lord, but blindly backing the Republican Party no matter what they do, I think, is the wrong message entirely. And when you once have sold your soul to them and said, well, I'll, you know, you give me this or that or the other thing and I'll back you, I do not think you make any deals with the devil. And when you see what they're really doing, they talk pro-life and then they back International Planned Parenthood with almost $500 million, I think $480 billion, far more than Bill Clinton ever could have done. And they, of course, they make a big show of taking $38 million from one pro-abortion UN organization, and then they give it to another a pro-abortion UN organization. You know, this is the ultimate in hypocrisy. They're playing the Republicans, Christians. I think that the Christians ought to realize what's happening, and they ought to take a stand for righteousness rather than simply following blindly along. They ought to know that some of the people that George Bush has appointed to the judiciary are very much pro-choice. Why would a pro-life president nominate pro-choice judges to the federal court benches? A lot of unanswered questions out there. Well, we're moving into a very difficult election. I think it's going to be a very important election here. And, of course, we'd like to know what you think about it. Our guest this evening, Mr. William Green of Right Marts. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And if you have a question or comment, why, give us a call. But Mr. Green has the opportunity to reach people with an email list of 500,000, and I know Phil Sheldon's been working on building up that email list for a long period of time. You can reach an awful lot of people and give them some idea of what's going on. And communication is the most important thing. People need to know how our elected representatives are voting. And I think the thing most of our elected representatives fear most is that people are going to find out how they vote. We'll be back here in just a moment with Mr. Green. Welcome your calls from out across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and Mr. William Green's our guest this evening. What is the feeling of the conservatives that you're in touch with as far as the war in Iraq? Are they for it again? Do they think that we've made a mistake of not being prepared to deal with the insurgency after the election? What is the general feeling that you get?
I think that the general feeling that we get from our membership is that there's concern about the war. There's concern that it could bog down over there, that it could get worse if the right steps aren't taken from leadership. But you also have a very strong sense of support for our troops, sense that you certainly don't get from those on the left. Even that they'll march around with their signs that say, "We support the troops. We want to bring them home." It's a nice slogan that they've got, but when you actually break it down and start talking to them, they don't support the troops. Most of them don't even know any troops. They don't even know anyone that served in the military, and don't understand the fervor and the patriotism involved, even in military families. And so we got a lot of military families on our email list. We hear from them a lot. And these are people that just have a special love for this country and understand that freedom is not free. And so, in taking part in that, they're very appreciative of the support of the American people. The good thing is that the American people, I don't think, have been hoodwinked by the left in this particular case the way they were during the Vietnam War. I don't think that there's as high of a possibility or probability of this particular war, or this part of the war, the greater war on terror, turning into a political war that we're just going to lose at home, even though we could win it overseas. It's a contentious issue, even within the conservative community. You got a lot of conservatives that are very strongly against the war, that are strongly against us being involved overseas in many respects. And so I think this is an issue that conservatives need to continue to discuss amongst ourselves. And the good thing is we can have a good, robust, open debate without it breaking down. I mean, just what a country we live in that we can do that. The unfortunate thing is that, at least from the left, you don't have just a robust debate. You have just a lot of hatred on the left, and it just pours out and spills out to where, you know, when this election's over, and I really do believe Bush is going to win, but yeah, if and when he does, I really think that the left is not going to react very well to that.
Hold that thought right there. Absolutely. For a minute, then. Okay, this is Dr. Stan, our guest is William Green, and William was just saying that he's concerned that if Bush wins, as he anticipates he will, that there's going to be a lot of hatred and anger on the part of the what refers to as the left here, you know, if the Republicans do win the election. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite concerned. Well, first of all, we already see that the Democrats are already planning to contest any part of this election that does not favor John Kerry. They've got a squadron of 10,000 lawyers ready to descend on all the swing states. If those elections are the least bit close and Kerry's not in the lead, then they're going to challenge the results in all those elections. They're already, you know, they've already said that they're going to call voter fraud. They're going to say that people have been disenfranchised, even if those people haven't really been disenfranchised, because they know that that's one way that they can litigate things in the court as well. The voter fraud, I think, that's going to take place in this election is going to be greater than we've ever seen at any time in the history of the United States, and I think that's what's going. That may be what we have the biggest problem with in this election.
Well, don't you think a lot of people are very concerned about these electronic voting machines where there's no paper record?
I think absolutely. The electronic voting machines really ought to, I don't know whose idea this was to do it without a paper record, but they're insane. There needs to be a paper record. But in addition to that, a lot of the problems that we're going to have is because of voter registration. There's been so much fraud on the part of these Democrat-affiliated groups like MoveOn.org and ACT that have been registering people by the hundreds of thousands. But so many of those are false registrations. They're double registrations, people that live in other states that can vote in either one of these states now. And I think that that's where we're going to have a major problem. In fact, right, March, we've already gotten together and with Larry Klayman. Larry Klayman is now preparing lawsuits on our behalf because to challenge the Democrats' lawsuits that we know are coming as the election progresses.
All right, well, let's go to Luke, who's calling us from Soquel, California. Hi, Luke. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Right, go ahead. You have a question for our guest.
Yeah, I have a question for Mr. Green. I'm actually a member of the rightmarch.com email list, and I haven't seen any emails coming about the Senate race in California. Of course, we have our good friend Bill Jones running against Barbara Boxer. The funny thing is, California, I heard the statistic, I think it was actually published, if I'm recalling correctly, by the Los Angeles Times when George Bush won in 2000, he apparently lost California only by about a million votes. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. If it is true, that's not very many votes if you consider the size of the California population. So I'm just kind of wondering, I know that, you know, the party, Republican Party, hasn't been doing a whole lot to focus too much on Bill Jones. I'm wondering if you guys are, you know, doing anything to help him along.
Yeah, I love Bill Jones. He's done a wonderful job out there in advancing the conservative cause. The unfortunate thing that we've found during this election cycle is that we've gotten exhausted with how much stuff there is to do. We're all over the place. We're supporting candidates. Our PAC is supporting candidates in Senate and congressional races in a number of places around the country.
Right.
And unfortunately, we just haven't been able to do everything everywhere.
Right.
Even up through an hour ago, we were sending emails out to Oklahoma because Coburn's candidate has suddenly been airing these just outrageously false ads, and so we're countering that to all of our members in Oklahoma.
Now, why would Coburn be doing that? Coburn's a real good guy.
No, Coburn hasn't been putting false ads.
Oh, you mean the other people have?
Yeah, his opponent put them out. His opponent put out ads that basically tried to paint himself as pro-life and Coburn as pro-choice. Just outrageous stuff that these people.
Well, do you think that the people of Oklahoma are foolish enough to buy? Well, of course they are. You know, somebody once said it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough on television, everybody will believe it.
And in politics and in political races, if you say it at the last minute and there's no time to rebut it, then you get the last word before an election. And so,
well, I hope our listeners in Oklahoma know that Tom Coburn is one of the few men of integrity that we have running right now. I'm very much solidly behind his candidacy.
Yeah, absolutely. And to even consider calling Tom Coburn pro-abortion is just so beyond the pale that it was hard to believe that they were trying to do it. But that's exactly what they were doing in radio ads that they were airing just this week. And so we've sent out emails doing that. But unfortunately, we just weren't able to get very involved in California this time. But boy, we're trying to do everything we can everywhere we can.
I think that one of the interesting things, Luke, is that if you've been watching television, you've been all seeing all sorts of ads for Maldonado, and you've been seeing ads for, you know, for all of these things, for all the various propositions. You haven't seen hardly any presidential ads because Republicans have written this state off. They're not trying to get George Bush elected here, and they're sure not trying to get Bill Jones elected. He's been starved for funds. They are not helping him. It's almost as if somebody wants to get Barbara Boxer back in office.
Right. I've seen, you know, I was on my way home earlier tonight, and I heard one or two, I was surprised hearing like one or two radio ads for George, you know, reelecting him. I was surprised to hear that. Yeah, but, you know, and you look at polls and, you know, so forth, at the, for the Barbara Boxer and Bill Jones race, it's kind of discouraging, but, and, you know, and George Bush, he said, you know, in his speeches that, you know, John Kerry, is, you know, the most liberal senator. And that is definitely saying something when you have Ted Kennedy and you have Barbara Boxer. I would say Barbara Boxer is a very close second. And it's just kind of frustrating that we don't have more support for Bill Jones. But,
well, I agree with you totally. And I think that certainly Bill Jones is a basically very good man.
Yeah, I agree. So.
Okay, anything else you want to say?
Oh, I think that's it for now.
Thanks very much, Luke.
And thanks for your support on Right March, too.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'll definitely be following everywhere you guys go.
Okay.
God bless. Okay, let's go to, who do we have? We've got Jack calling in from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Hi, very good.
Have a question or comment?
Yes, Mr. Green, let me preface my question and statement by the fact that I used to be a precinct delegate in the Republican Party. I was raised in a Democratic family until I discovered the New World Order, according to a senior Luciferian secret society, George Bush, who in September 11, 1990, began in earnest to proclaim the wonders and benefits of a global New World Order and how the Persian Gulf campaign was going to unite the world in that order. Since that, I've been rather disenfranchised, and of course, I've heard a number of guests on Dr. Stan's program. I'm wondering if your group has ever addressed the unimpeachable fact as presented by Lindsay Williams, author of The Energy Non-Crisis Syndrome of Control, who determined from his executive contacts during the Alaska pipeline construction that there was about 500 years worth of energy independence of oil on an island off of Alaska's north coast. This is back in the 70s. It was prohibited from being tapped. Now, this week I've seen presented on Free Speech TV a documentary called Hijacking Catastrophe 911, where they document unimpeachably that Paul Wolfowitz and the rest of the PNAC boys, as early as 1992, were calling for this globalist agenda with the United States military going rallying around the world, and they needed a pretext for it, and they actually called for a new Pearl Harbor.
All right, fine. Let's get Mr. Green's response on that. How would you respond to what Jack's saying?
I'm not really sure if there was a question in there, but the really at Right March, we're a practical issue-to-issue organization. A lot of times, especially when Congress is in session, we got distracted, obviously, by the election season here, and that we've had to focus on that a lot. But when Congress and Senate are in session, a lot of what we do is monitor and track the bills that are coming up, the good bills and the bad bills. And so we send out regular action alerts to our email list members, where we let them know, look, here's a bill that's been introduced. This is a great conservative bill. We really need to back this. Click here, and you can send a message within 60 seconds directly to your congressman, your senators, and let them know you really support this bill. Or if there's some horrible bill that comes up, no matter if it's a Republican or Democrat that introduces it, we need to get cracking on this. A lot of times what we'll do is, when MoveOn.org is pushing some new scheme of theirs, we will set up our site so that people can go right in and contact whoever it is that needs to be contacted, usually within government itself, maybe a government agency or maybe Congress, so that they can counter what MoveOn's doing. MoveOn's got over 2 million people on their email list, so when they send their minions out to contact Congress or whatever, then suddenly there's all these loud voices that are being heard. Well, we need to be heard too, and we need to let them know. Don't just listen to these loons. And so that's what we really focus on, a lot of the more practical issues, day-to-day issues that are going on in Congress and agencies and so forth.
I think what William is saying is basically that they are certainly an action organization, whereas Radio Liberty is an educational organization. We're trying to give people an understanding of what's going on. William's trying to get them to vote on specific issues, but of course he's not addressing the overview that we do, or certainly the spiritual aspects that we talk about. Have anything else you want to say, Jack?
Dr. Stan, speaking of the issues, Ron Paul of Texas, a fine, upstanding conservative man, introduced H.R. 1146 back in 1999, the American Sovereignty Restoration Act.
Which RightMarch.com has pushed strongly, by the way.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. We've sent out several action alerts to try to get that one passed.
Okay. Well, is it continuing then?
He continues to push it. It got, of course, stuck in committee again this time, but with the new Congress, he'll reintroduce it again, and we'll have an even stronger push on that. Eventually, that thing is going to go through. It's just a matter of pushing and pushing and pushing. Congressman Paul is just such a wonderful conservative man, and really understands American sovereignty, and that particular bill is one of the best in Congress, and he'll reintroduce it in the new Congress, and we'll push it again.
Well, so I'm going to do what I can to get behind it here, too.
Well, you, Jack, what you can do is get everybody back there in Michigan there listening to our programs. We'll get them educated, and then they'll want to get involved, too.
Amen, Dr.
God bless. Thanks so much. Okay, fine. That's Jack, of course, calling from Michigan. And if you're out there across America, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we're certainly working, talking this evening to William Green of RightMarch.com. And, of course, they are the counterpart to MoveOn.com, which comes from the far left. And, of course, they're mobilizing the left to put pressure on Congress to vote one way. And we need somebody to put pressure on Congress to vote the opposite way. And it sounds everything that William Green has said this evening, at least the things we've talked about, he is certainly right on all of the important issues. And you and Phil then work very, very closely together.
We do. Phil, of course, began conservativepetitions.com. I had begun conservativealerts.com, and what we did was when we had this concept to really form sort of a rapid response force to groups like MoveOn.org, then we came together in forming Right March, and Phil's just great at being able to network with a lot of other conservative organizations where he's able to bring them in, and they partner with us on taking action on a lot of these different areas, and that's helped us to really advance the conservative agenda.
Well, I think it really does, Chris. I think that really what we have to do is reach people and get them educated so they can see the overview of what's going on. Chris, you're doing the sending out the emails. We do 5 hours a day of talk radio, just trying to educate people in various audiences. And, of course, the audience is growing. We started with one station, and now we're up over 60 stations every week and picking up a station, average one a month here for the last few months. And, you know, it's a long, slow process. It's not some of the stations are 2 hours a day, and some of them are just half an hour a week. But at least people are hearing the information they would not hear otherwise. And, of course, what we're trying to get is the people who do not know there's a problem and convince them there is. Then, of course, they can be mobilized into doing something such as you're doing, and that is focus their attention on specific issues, like, of course, the one that Ron Paul is pushing. And, of course, for the people who do not know, this Sovereignty Act really has to do, of course, with getting the United States out of the United Nations and get the United Nations out of the United States. Well, let's go to Paul, who's calling us from Austin, Texas. Hi, Paul. You have a question for William Green?
Well, yes, sir, and kind of to you as well, either one. Do you know if there is a organized movement to contact ministers and churches around the nation about just the truth about what's going on and their responsibility as ministers to get this out to their congregations?
Go ahead, William. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I can tell you this, that especially during the election season, there's been a very concerted movement to reach the churches and the ministers, the leaders of these churches around the nation. Right March put together a website early on in the election season where one of the things that we've been really pushing for is to get conservatives and Christians registered to vote. That was a big push that we were doing. You remember on the left they had a big push going on to get people registered to vote, and MTV had what they called Rock the Vote. And they were really trying to get a lot of young people and so forth. Well, we decided that we needed to really work on getting evangelical Christians registered to vote in a big way so that we could get them out on election day. So we formed what was called Vote the Rock. And we put up a website at votetherock.com, which was really a portal to a lot of the conservative and evangelical Christian websites that were working so hard to reach these churches and these ministers to get Christians to get registered to vote so that we wouldn't have the lack of participation this time that we really had, unfortunately, in a big way during the last presidential election. And from all accounts, it's been very successful. I think that may be one of the things that's going to be the biggest plus in defeating John Kerry in this election, and that is going to be the evangelical vote getting out. Now, once the election's over, the big issue then is are the Christians, the evangelicals, and so forth going to continue to be involved in the political process? And that's always hard to do. It's hard to get a lot of high involvement on the right, whereas on the left, most of these people don't have jobs, so they can get involved in things.
I see.
No, they do have jobs. They're working for government or foundations,
exactly,
or environmental movement. Okay, anything else you want to say?
Well, maybe I didn't understand. Is he pro-Kerry or pro-Bush?
He's pro-Bush.
Yeah, absolutely against Kerry.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, fine. Is that good or bad?
I think it's very bad. I don't mean to be personal about it, but I just, from my knowledge of the Bush cartel and the gangsters that they got behind them in this White House and what they're doing in the name of big business and oil, I can't believe any person that really looks at our foreign policy and what's going on there can be for Bush.
Well, are you pro-Kerry?
I'm not pro-Kerry either.
Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
Well, we missed our music, so go ahead. What did you want to say? So you're against both of them then?
Well, no, so, yes, sir. I feel that they're both Skull and Bones members out of Yale. I see that they're both part of a secret society that I think they're opposing one another. I think that they honestly have different views of how they feel America should be run. But I think at the heart of a lot of the important issues, they're on the same page.
All right. Well, let's get Mr. Green's response to that.
What state do you live in?
Texas, sir.
You're in Texas. Texas is a very solid Bush state. It's a completely red state. Let me make a recommendation to you, and it's going to sound funny me saying this because I know it sounds like I'm just a pro-Bush guy. I'm an anti-Kerry guy. I'm an anti-socialist guy. I recommend you're living in a solid red state like that. Get out there and vote for the Constitution Party for candidate for president, Michael Peruca. He's on the ballot.
I voted for Libertarian. I'm sorry.
That's fine. That's fine.
That's fine too.
Well, you'll get a silver star for that.
Yeah. The good thing is that in these solid Bush or Kerry states, you really can make your voice heard to where it's going to send a message to, especially to the Republican Party, when they see that a lot of votes are racking up for third party candidates that are much more in favor of liberty and in support of the Constitution itself. That's when they start getting worried, because they say, hey, it's taking votes away from us. And when they see votes going away from them, then they start saying, well, maybe we'd better start changing which particular policies we support. So I highly recommend for anyone living in a solid blue, a solid red state, go out there and vote your conscience and send a message. But I also have to say that in the very close and the swing states that are out there, I don't think it makes sense to go out and vote for a third party in this particular election, because it will just, all it will do is put someone into office, specifically Kerry, who's going to just drive this country into the ground. The man is a menace to everything that we believe in, that we stand for. George Bush is by no means some sort of perfect conservative out there, but for the swing states, for the close states, I highly recommend that people do not go out there and vote third party, that they vote for Bush. But in solid red and blue states, which, by the way, most states are either solid red or blue, I highly recommend that people go out there and truly vote their conscience to send a message that we need to move the Republican Party in a truly conservative constitutional direction.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much, William Green of RightMarch.com. I hope to talk to you later.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I guess this evening Mr. William Green, and I've never talked to him before, but I like this gentleman. I think he's got a lot of good common sense, but each one of us is going to have to decide how we're going to vote tomorrow. Going to be fascinating to see how it comes, but of course you vote for what you think is right. This is what I do. And I'm tired of voting for the lesser of the two evils. So, under any circumstances, why, we'll be back with you tomorrow evening doing programs. And we've got some great programs, great program tomorrow evening. But we'll keep you abreast of what's happening in the election results. So stay right here, and we'll bring you blow-by-blow as the election results come in. And then, of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty really is listener-supported. We're dependent upon those of you who believe in what we're doing. The fact that we're trying to educate people, not only simply about politics, but about the spiritual forces that energize those politics. The fact that most of our organizations have been infiltrated by people from the other side. And I'm talking about our religious organizations, our conservative organizations, even our liberal organizations. And I'm talking about the dark side, because we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and most people don't even know there's a battle going on. So you certainly can learn more about this by going to my website at RadioLiberty.com and pulling down all the newsletters we have there and start reading them and checking the sources of reference, the things we talk about, getting my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and reading it through several times. And then, of course, getting some of the other books we have, Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, The Anglo-American Establishment, which Professor Quigley wrote about the secret society that controls America today. And there really are secret societies. Now, Professor Quigley only recognized one secret society, but there's not one, there are many. You need to understand how they all interlock into what I refer to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. That book is available, the book, the video, the audio tape, and the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And we have so much other information out there you're not going to find elsewhere. Information on Skull and Bones, the 4-tape set on Skull and Bones. The membership from Skull and Bones, we actually have the membership list that they published. Their information, the biographies of people going all the way back to 1832, when this secret occult organization metastasized to the United States from Bavaria, where it originated as part of this world occult movement, the World Revolutionary Movement. More information on that and a wonderful book we carry by written by the Librarian of Congress, James H. Billington, a far left individual, but a very, very wise individual. I mean, because he's on the left doesn't mean he doesn't have a great deal to offer. I have the greatest respect for him. He's a great intellect and an excellent historian. His book, Fire in the Minds of Men, is certainly one of the five most important books in my library, along with the book of the Foundations, Their Power and Influence, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, the Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Each one of those books is so vitally important into understanding the full spectrum of what's going on today. That's Tragedy and Hope, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, The Anglo-American Establishment, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Those five books, Fire in the Minds of Men, why, when you read those, you'll really be able to grasp what we're talking about, the true nature of the spiritual battle that's being fought for the souls of men. So, again, remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, we also want you to go to our website, tell others about our programs where they can hear us on the Internet 5 hours a day and not get much of anything accomplished. But they can hear 5 hours a day. They can, of course, listen to our shortwave 4 hours a day. We're on satellite 5 hours a day now. We're on the Internet 5 hours a day on 6 different stations. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, at the same time, Election Day, may the Lord be with you.